Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We were chatting a little bit earlier on to Marie Crow from Game On, all about the World Cup in Qatar now that we're at kind of the quarterfinal stage. Now, Marie's perspective is as, you know, a sports journalist and a sports fan and doing her show on 2FM and also all kinds of punditry all over the place. But somebody who was there is Professor Mike Cronin. He's not long back from Qatar and he's on the line now to tell me a bit about the fan experience over there. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. I'm really interested to hear how you got on in Qatar. Had you ever been there before?
No, I'd been down to Dubai, but I'd never been to Qatar. And they're quite similar in some ways.
Are they? Yeah. They're kind of like similar cultures and stuff like that. Yeah. What has your impression of the tournament been so far as a fan?
I think the strange thing is, I mean, I think that Jonathan Liu in The Guardian wrote a brilliant piece in The Weekend where he thought every good feeling is lined with guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the kind of strange thing, that you're there, you're at a major tournament. The stadiums are amazing. I mean,
yeah,
you walk in and they're just breathtakingly like new and efficient, and sight lines are brilliant. But then you kind of do reflect on how many people died building these things.
Yeah, and they
and
do, they look spectacular.
That's the whole experience.
Yeah, of course. And they look spectacular on the TV. And I'm sure as a fan walking into these absolutely brand spanking new stadiums, it's a huge thing. But as you say, there's this little niggle always that it's kind of just, you know what's gone on there in the past years.
Yeah. And that sense of newness is everywhere. I mean, the people have talked about the kind of the metro line.
Mm.
I mean, again, it's literally been unwrapped the week before. It runs every 2 minutes. I mean, they literally get 60,000 people out of a stadium in 25 minutes.
It's phenomenal. And that apparently is where fans are meeting each other and having a bit of crack and stuff like that. You know, it's the metro apparently is like a phenomenon over there.
It is, because the weird thing about it is, obviously, in the sense of, you know, the normal fan experience is you have a few pints, you go to the pub, you go after the game. That's missing because there's no drink unless you're in a kind of a Western style hotel.
Yeah.
Which by their nature, they're policing those in terms of you can't have 1,000 people into a hotel bar. So you don't get that experience of kind of mixing. It's not a walking city by any stretch of imagination. So the metro does become that kind of communal area in some ways, where you do start bumping into people. And the weird thing as well, because obviously you've got, when I was there for the group stages, you had four games going on across an afternoon and evening.
Yeah.
And these four metro lines are constantly intersecting. So you, in your head, you're thinking, right, I'm going off to the 7 o'clock game. You're almost meeting people coming back from the 1 o'clock and the 3 o'clock game.
Oh, of course.
And you're having these kind of weird discussions, how is your game? And then you get some people who've been to the 1 o'clock game, we're jumping on the metro to go to the 7 o'clock game. And it gets kind of chaotic. You do end up living this bubble. It's not like just one game a day in one town. It's the fact that everything is going on around you all the time.
And was this your first World Cup? Had you ever attended a World Cup before?
Never, I've been to Euros before, but not a World Cup.
Okay.
So,
and how did it compare, like, say, atmosphere-wise to another big tournament? Because, like, we were talking to Marie there earlier on, and we're talking about, say, empty seats and stuff, which you do see on the TV and, you know, in these brand-new stadiums and stuff. Is it, like, has the cost of attending maybe made the whole thing a bit less accessible?
I think the thing is, I mean, it's accessible from us in European terms, definitely.
Sure.
I mean, I went to a kind of Germany-Spain game. I kind of watched England a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you have your hardcore, maybe 1,500, 2,000. It's very noticeably small. But equally, going to something that's more local, like I went to the Belgium-Morocco game. Morocco had half the stadium. And it was one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen in my life. So a lot of it is, we're coming at this from a very Euro perspective.
Yeah.
It's definitely different. I think the problem with empty seats, I mean, talking to some of the people who are kind of working down there, there's clearly an issue where the biggest take-off of tickets when they put them on the market were locals.
Okay.
And, you know, there's all the arguments about Qatari football culture or not. I mean, the one thing that's very different is they go as entire families. So you'd sit down in your seats.
Uh-huh.
You clearly have mum, dad and four kids and even a baby sitting on somebody's lap.
So it's like a night, an evening out or an afternoon out.
Yeah. And I think again, talking to people, a lot of the kind of empty seats are just Qataris who bought, you know, 24 matches worth of tickets.
Oh, interesting.
And they're relatively cheap. I mean, it's 60 quid, 60 okay. euros. It's not expensive.
Sure.
Certainly cheap in the Premier League. And you can see, after seven games, I was a bit fatigued with the whole thing.
Yeah.
27 games or something, no way. So I do wonder whether a lot of those kind of empty seats are just locals who've just not bothered. Because, I mean, officially they're all sellouts.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you whether because obviously Qatar, the host nation, went out in the group stages, so that not engaged with their own team, I guess, anymore.
Yep.
But are the Qataris engaged with the football still?
I mean, they're turning up. I mean, yeah. I've got family members who are still down there, and they said, you know, they're still there. But again, I think it's one of those strange things with talking to people, whether, you know, are they football fans? I mean, what does that mean? Certainly, it's the idea of, you know, when we have an American football game in Dublin, do you go because you love American football?
Sure.
It's just something different that's here. And you get the sense talking to the Qataris that whatever the right or wrong, once it's on their doorstep, you're going to go.
Yeah, like the circus rolls into town for 3 weeks and you go
right.
to take a look. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's definitely a circus. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, it's just every building is sort of illuminated with footballers, with football imagery. Even the thing they didn't finish in time. So you might have a block where it's just derelict. It's just scaffolded and then beautifully boarded up.
Yeah.
So you don't see it as a piece of wasteland. But again, that's all football logos, the FIFA logo, the World Cup logos. It's just like the city's been branded.
Wow.
Completely.
Can I ask you finally, Mike, and this is from an Irish perspective, I suppose, not a weird question. What is it like being at a match and not being able to have a drink?
It didn't bother me, personally.
Yeah. Does it affect the atmosphere?
I personally think it did during the European Games, yes. I think it's a very different thing that you clearly... Yeah. I mean, I'd go and have a beer with my... I was out there with my brother. I'd go and have a couple of beers before the game.
Sure.
But I mean, by the time you've got on the metro, you've got to the ground. I mean, it's probably 2 hours since you've left wherever you were.
Yeah.
But certainly, I felt when you were dealing with North African teams, Middle Eastern teams, the atmosphere was brilliant because the numbers were there.
Yes.
Whereas clearly when you've only got, you know, maybe 2,000 Belgians,
yeah.
They're having a different experience that comes across as a very different experience. So,
for
yeah,
sure.
I think it does change it. But, I mean, it's a global game. We've got to respect that. You know, we can't just say it's got to be the Irish way or the English way everywhere we go.
Of course.
That's not true.
Yeah, kind of Eurocentric, I guess. Mike,
yeah.
Professor Mike Cronin, I should say, you have an article in the Irish Times this week all about your experience as a fan at the World Cup in Qatar. I'd highly recommend reading it. It's a great insight into being at the World Cup as a fan, this kind of unusual World Cup out of all of them. Mike, thanks a million for telling us about your experience. Really appreciate it.
Okay, mind yourself. Take
you
it.
Too. Thanks a mil, Mike.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.